Inshallah, before I call Maulana Sheikh Salim Garasar forward, a little bit in regards to the introduction of Sheikh Maulana Salim Garasar. First of all, just like myself and our Mufti Liaquat Sahab, Sheikh Maulana Salim Garasar is a graduate from Darul Uloom Berry. Alhamdulillah, in 1991, he started teaching children, students, in regards to the Quran and the Sunnah of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He started from his own home. Alhamdulillah, today he has established, he is the founder, the director, the principal, the Sheikh al-Hadith of the Islamic Dawah Academy in Leicester. For many of us in the UK, Leicester is widely regarded as the city that if you want your children to have the best of upbringing, is regarded as the best city to have your children being raised in because of the environment, because of the spirituality in Leicester. One of the main reasons behind this is because of the presence of Sheikh Maulana Salim Garasar. Is a main factor, one of the main reasons why Alhamdulillah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the city of Leicester with so much nur and spirituality. Sheikh Maulana Salim Garasar also, he has three regular programs that take place every year in Leicester. One is the annual Tarbiyah conference for the youth. Last year was the 25th year, so it's been running now for 25 years, where youths from all over the country and even beyond places in Europe, they all come and visit, they all come and benefit from this gathering. Sheikh also has his annual Khatme Bukhari, where hundreds of ulama have graduated under the guidance and stewardship of Sheikh Maulana Salim Garasar. And he also has the annual Khatme Quran, where mashallah, many Hufadul Quran, many children, many students, many teenagers memorize the Quran under the guidance of Maulana Sheikh Salim Garasar. Also, he has regular monthly Khanqa programs. He has this journal, this magazine, Riyadul Jannah. And also, Alhamdulillah, he has the Alim class that is running for the boys and also for the girls. Also, many of us, when we go for Hajj and we go for Umrah, we have these pocket-sized books, how to perform Hajj, how to perform Umrah. These are very beneficial. We are able to keep it in our pocket. Whilst we are performing Hajj, whilst we are performing Umrah, doing Ziyarah, we are always able to gain benefit from it. The author of these books is also none other than Sheikh Maulana Salim Garasar. Also, we have many, many leaflets that are given, that are all over the country, spreading to many of the masajids about all different topics in relation to Islam. Again, Alhamdulillah, Sheikh Maulana Salim Garasar is the author and the instigator behind these leaflets. So Alhamdulillah, we have been chasing Maulana Salim Garasar for several years. Alhamdulillah, finally, he has accepted our da'wah. So Alhamdulillah, without further ado, it gives me great honor and pleasure to call Sheikh Maulana Salim Garasar.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى through His infinite grace and mercy has afforded us this opportunity to meet with each other, gather together only for His pleasure. Loving each other only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also a very valuable deed. Performing salat is a good deed. Giving zakah is also a good deed. Fasting in the month of Ramadan, performing Hajj, Umrah, reciting the Quran, engaging in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, helping one another, being good to one another, being kind and merciful to one another. These are all good deeds. Loving one another only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also a good deed, a very valuable good deed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the field of Mahshar will make this announcement. أَيْنَ الْمُتَحَابُّونَ بِجَلَالِ. Where are those people who loved each other for my sake? Not for any ulterior motive, not for any worldly gain, for my sake only, for my pleasure only. Where are those people? And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, الْيَوْمَ أُذِلُّهُمْ فِي ذِلِّي يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلِّي. This day, I will grant them shade under the shade of my throne or under the shade of my mercy when there is no shade except the shade of my throne or the shade of my mercy. It's very rare that I visit places for the first time, and I visit places where majority of the people I am meeting for the first time, and I feel so happy because I know that 95 to 99% of the people I am meeting for the first time. So I have no motive other than to meet them for the pleasure of Allah. And they also have no motive because they have never met me before. So they also have no motive but to meet me for the pleasure of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, سَبْعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّ. There are seven categories of people who will be granted shade under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the shade of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that day when there will be no shade except the shade of the throne of Allah or the shade of the mercy of Allah. From amongst these seven categories, one category is رَجُلَانِ تَحَبَّ فِي اللَّهِ. Those two brothers or those two sisters who love each other only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اجتماع عليه When they get together, when they meet each other, it is only for his pleasure. And when they separate from each other, it is only for his pleasure. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned an incident of the people of the past. That a person left his hometown, his village, his locality to go into another locality, another village, another town to meet his friend, to meet his Muslim brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel in human form. This angel met this person and assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam, after the pleasantries, the angel, according to the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asked, where are you going? So he said, Uridu akhalli fi hadhihi al-qariya. My intention is to go and visit my brother who lives in this town. So the angel said, what is your motive in visiting this brother of yours? So he said, I have only one motive. Inni uhibbuhu lillah. I am going to visit him only because I love him for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the angel, upon the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said to this person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that just as you love your Muslim brother, Allah also loves you. So friends and my sisters, this is my first appeal today, that let us love each other only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order to love each other, we will have to learn to forgive and forget the mistakes of our brothers. We all make mistakes. Let us try to forgive and also forget. There should be no ill feeling in our hearts for our Muslim brothers, for our Muslim sisters. Let us learn to forgive and forget. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has given the Ummah instructions. And from amongst these instructions we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged everything that would create and strengthen the bond of love between Muslims. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has discouraged everything that would either decrease this love or that would diminish this love. Do not backbite. Why? Because as a result of backbiting, either love will decrease or love will diminish. If we backbite our Muslim brother and he comes to know of this backbiting, his love for us will decrease or maybe diminish. No backbiting, no jealousy. No jealousy. Why? Because jealousy will decrease love. It may even diminish the love. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has discouraged everything, each and everything that would decrease the love or diminish the love between Muslims. And he has encouraged everything that would increase the love or that would create love. So let us learn to love each other only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let us also love to forgive and forget. Because without forgiving and without forgetting, we cannot love one another. If we forgive, forget, we will love one another. If we forgive and forget, we will bring unity into existence. And unity is something very beloved to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam again. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Another reason for happiness today is the subject of this gathering. The topic of this gathering, the reason of this gathering. a student will be completing the glorious Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him immense barakah in his hifz, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten his hearts with the ulum and with the ma'arif of the Quran, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him a beacon of light for the whole ummah. The Quran, a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the ultimate word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khabbab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyiduna Khabbab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he would say that try your utmost to acquire the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us to acquire His nearness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us to worship Him. And what is the meaning of worship? Worship means to carry out those actions which please Him and to abstain from those actions which displease Him. This is ibadah. If we engage in ibadah, if we engage in ibadah means if we live our 24 hours engaging in ibadah. And what is the meaning of ibadah? If we spend 24 hours in those things which bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we spend 24 hours abstaining from those things which bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will automatically acquire the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should be our goal. The closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loving us and we loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The awliya, the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were so much in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that everything was easy for them. The fara'id were easy for them, the wajibat were easy for them, abstaining from haram was easy for them, abstaining from makruhat tahrimiyah was easy for them. So much so that sunan were very easy for them, mustahabbat were very easy for them, and nawafil and optional actions were very easy for them. Because when you love somebody, then to do something for that person, you don't find burdensome. If a person does not love his wife, and if he has to do something for his wife, then he will question himself, is this necessary? Is this necessary? If I don't do this for my wife, will anybody object? No, people will not object. So it's not necessary. So it's a no from me. But if a person has love for his wife, he will not ask this question, is it necessary? No, I love my wife and I want to keep her happy, make her happy, so I will do anything that will make her happy. Because of the lack of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the situation we find ourselves in. Is this necessary? Is this fard? Is this wajib? Is it compulsory? Is it incumbent? Yes, it is fard, it is incumbent, it is necessary, it is compulsory, so I will have to carry it out. Otherwise, on the day of Qiyamah, I will be questioned. In the grave, I will be questioned. As far as sunan are concerned, as far as mustahabbat are concerned, as far as nawafid are concerned, because of lack of love, the attitude is, it is not necessary. It's not anything compulsory, it's not incumbent. It is not something I have to do. It is not something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question me for. This is the result of lack of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our pious predecessors had so much love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. They had so much love that they longed to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We long to remain in this world. They longed to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They long to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If death was mentioned in front of them, they would say, Al-mawtu jasrun yusilul habiba ilal habib. Death is a bridge. Death is a bridge that will make the lover meet the beloved. They would feel happy.
As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, that for a mu'min, for a believer, death is a gift. Why? Because it is through this gift that a believer will meet his creator. Tuhfatul mu'mini al-maut. The gift of a believer is death. But we fear death. We fear death. Why do we fear death? Because we don't have that expected love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Bilal radiallahu anhu was in his last stages, what did he say? He said, wa tarabah, wa tarabah. I am so happy, I am so happy. He is dying and he is saying, wa tarabah, I am so happy, I am delighted. Why? He said, ghadan nalqal ahibbata Muhammadan wa hizbahu. As soon as my soul departs, I will meet my beloved Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. There was a great sheikh in the Indian subcontinent, Sheikh Yaqub Mujaddidi Bhopali rahimahullah ta'ala. He was in Bhopal, a very pious personality. One day he experienced chest pains. And when a person experiences chest pains, the mind immediately goes towards heart attack. So he experienced chest pains. He was taken to the hospital, or the doctor was called. An ECG was carried out. And as a result of the ECG, the doctor said, Sheikh, there is nothing to worry about. That means it's not a heart attack. And if it's not a heart attack, you are not going to die. So nothing to worry about. So Sheikh said, Doctor Sahib, is death something to worry about? Allahu Akbar. He said, is death something to worry about? And thereafter he said, Al-mautu jasrun yusilul habiba ilal habib. Death is a bridge that will make the lover meet the beloved. And thereafter he said, there is only one thing to worry about, and that is the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when a person disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unhappy. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes unhappy, he distances himself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Khabbab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, that try your utmost to acquire the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our respected Imam Sahib mentioned that in the talk, we will hear how to acquire the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the goal of every believer, goal of every Muslim. To acquire the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to acquire the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to acquire the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to acquire the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes even before Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when making dua, he would supplicate and he would say, Allahumma inni as'aluka ridhaka wal Jannah. Oh Allah, I ask from you, I seek from you your pleasure and Jannah. And Jannah. Jannah is the result of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is no pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no Jannah. Pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he used to seek refuge, he would seek refuge first, not from Jahannam, from the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ سَخَتِكَ وَالنَّارِ. And oh Allah, I seek refuge from your displeasure and the fire of Jahannam. Why? Because the fire of Jahannam is the result of the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah is not displeased, then there is no Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to strive for this nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nearness of Allah. We acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by carrying out His commands, by carrying out the do's and by abstaining from the don'ts. There are some do's which are compulsory. The fara'id and the wajibat are compulsory. There are some don'ts which are compulsory. The haram and makruhat tahrimiyah. These are compulsory don'ts. We have no choice. As far as the compulsory do's are concerned, we must carry them out. And if we sleep, we must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent immediately. And as far as the compulsory don'ts are concerned, again we have no choice. It is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must try our utmost to abstain from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we sleep, we should immediately turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent. And after the compulsory don'ts are the voluntary don'ts. Sunan, mustahabbat, nawafil. And after the compulsory do's, the voluntary do's. The sunan, the mustahabbat and the nawafil. And after the compulsory don'ts are the voluntary don'ts. Makruhate tanzihiyya. We must try our utmost to stay away from makruhate tanzihiyya also. Although it is not necessary. And we must try our utmost to carry out the sunan and the mustahabbat and the nawafil also. Although they are not compulsory. They are not incumbent. Why? Because as a result of this sunan, as a result of this mustahabbat, as a result of this nawafil, we will acquire immense closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَسْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. My servant does not acquire my closeness with anything which is more beloved to me than what I have made compulsory upon him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made all the fara'is compulsory, all the wajibat compulsory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made abstaining from all the haram compulsory and abstaining from all the makruhati tahrimiya compulsory. So a person does not acquire my closeness through any amal, which is more beloved to me than the fara'is, the wajibat, and abstaining from haram and makruhati tahrimiya. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith Qudsi, وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. My servant does not stop there. That alhamdulillah, I have all the fara'is under control, all the wajibat under control, all the haram under control, all the makruhati tahrimiya under control, sunnah, mustahab, nafl, not necessary. No, he strives. He continues to strive in towards acquiring my closeness more and more. وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. My servant continues to acquire my closeness through optional deeds, through the sunan, the mustahabbat and the nawafil, through staying away from makruhati tanzihiyya. Now he is carrying out all the do's and abstaining from all the don'ts, and he is also carrying out the voluntary do's and abstaining from the voluntary don'ts. Now what is he in my eyes? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. Now he is my beloved. I make him my beloved. And when he becomes my beloved, what do I do with him? What do I give him in this very world? كُنْتُ سَمَعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. I become his ears with which he hears. I become his ears with which he hears. That means, I safeguard him from listening to wrong. He will always listen to good. He will not listen to music. He will not listen to backbiting. He will always listen to good because I will monitor him. I will supervise him. I will safeguard him. I will look after him. وَبَسَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْسِرُ بِهَا. I become his eyes with which he observes. I will safeguard him. He will only be able to see what is good. And I will give him the power to restrain himself when he is challenged by shaitan and loves to look at something which is not lawful. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْتِشُ بِهَا. And I become his hands with which he grips. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. I become his feet with which he walks. And he becomes so important to me because now I am safeguarding him. He cannot make a mistake. He becomes so important to me that وَلَيْنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأَوْتِيَنَّهُ. If he asks from me, I will definitely grant him whatever he asks for. وَلَيْنِ اسْتَعَاذَ بِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. And when he seeks refuge in me, I will definitely grant him refuge from whatever he is seeking refuge. So let us make a firm resolution, my brothers, my sisters, that inshallah from today, we will try our utmost to bring the compulsory do's in our lives. Compulsory do's, very important. Because Allah will question us for every compulsory do on the day of Qiyamah. And let us try our utmost to abstain from the compulsory don'ts, because Allah will question us on the day of Qiyamah. And on top of that, let us try our utmost to carry out the voluntary do's and abstain from the voluntary don'ts. And we need to do this simultaneously. The thought process should not be that because Salat is not completely in control, Salat is not completely in control, or the gazes are not completely in control, or the ears are not completely in control. So what's the point of sunnah? What's the point of optional deeds? No. These optional deeds will make our spiritual stamina strong, and as a result, we will be able to carry out the compulsory do's and abstain from the compulsory don'ts. So let us make this firm resolution. As I said earlier, that as a result of this effort, our pious predecessors, the great personalities like Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Tirmizi rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, the great the great fuqaha, the great muhaddisin, the great mufassirin, the tabi'in, the taba tabi'in, the sahaba rizwanullah ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, as a result of this effort, they excelled and they became the lovers of Allah and the beloved of Allah. And when a person becomes a lover of Allah and the beloved of Allah, then nothing is burdensome for him. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, in the month of Ramadan, he would complete one Quran daily. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, in the month of Ramadan, he would complete one Quran daily. He would recite the whole Quran daily once. And in tahajjud salat during the month of Ramadan, he would recite 10 juz separate. 10 juz. So 40 juz in one day. So every day in tahajjud he would recite 10 juz. So every third day he would complete the Quran. So in tahajjud only, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala would complete 10 Qurans in the month of Ramadan. And daily he would complete one Quran whilst walking, whilst sitting. So he would complete another 30. So 40 and one Quran he would complete in the Salatul Taraweeh. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala every year in the month of Ramadan would complete 41 Qurans. No burden. And for us, reciting one juz in the month of Ramadan becomes burdensome. If the Imam delays the Taraweeh by 5 minutes on a particular day, we will find it burdensome. Each and every person's gaze is on the clock in the month of Ramadan. And the time is fixed. And if the Imam exceeds by 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Yes, after Taraweeh, we will be able to spend half an hour in the foyer, maybe 1 hour in the foyer. But in Taraweeh, standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will find it burdensome. Why? Why? If you love me, you will not find talking to me burdensome. You will not find spending time with me burdensome. Because of the lack of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find standing in His court burdensome. And how can we create this love in our hearts? How can we enlighten our hearts with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By carrying out the compulsory do's and abstaining from the compulsory don'ts. This struggle, this mujahada, this struggle, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, those people who exercise this struggle for us. Allah says, for us, for me. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, then we will open the various paths that lead to us, that lead to me. So as a result of the compulsory do's and abstaining from the compulsory don'ts, a person will enlighten his heart with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result of the voluntary do's and the abstaining from the voluntary don'ts, he will become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us exert this effort. Let us make this goal today, my friends. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting us all the tawfiq to come to the masjid, perform salat, we perform salatul jumu'ah, we fast in the month of Ramadan as well. Alhamdulillah, we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should never undermine anything as far as deen is concerned. As somebody who is performing 5 times salat regularly, He is very, very punctual as far as deen is concerned. He should never look down upon somebody who is barely performing his Salatul Jumu'ah. Because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what future holds for him. Future in this world, maybe after 10 years, we could be in his shoes and he could be in our shoes. And in the hereafter, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows which mistake will land us in the fire of Jahannam and which good deed of his will grant him entry into Jannah. We should never look down upon anybody. We should always assume everybody to be better than us. Because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the inner condition of that person. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the future of that person. So alhamdulillah, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us as far as deen is concerned, we should be grateful to Allah. Even if we feel that it is very little and very insignificant, no, we should still be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the principle in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the one who is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any favor, Allah increases his favor. So if we say to Allah that, oh Allah, I am grateful to you for whatever tawfiq you are granting me to do good, Allah will increase our tawfiq and Allah will grant us the increase our ability to do good. But we should not remain content with whatever we are doing. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith that when you look at other people and compare yourself with them and compare them with yourself in worldly matters, you should always look at those people who are inferior to you. Because when you look at those people who are inferior to you in worldly matters, you will feel satisfied with whatever Allah has granted you. And whenever you look at somebody and compare yourself with him or compare him with yourself in religious matters, you should always look at those people who are superior to you. Because when you look at those who are superior to you, that will encourage you to do more for the hereafter. So let us make this firm resolution. We need to make this firm resolution. So I was mentioning the statement of Khabbab ibn Arat radiyallahu anhu, that Hazrat Khabbab radiyallahu anhu, Sayyiduna Khabbab radiyallahu anhu said that, O people, try to acquire the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. And how can we acquire the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By carrying out the do's and abstaining from the don'ts. And from where will we know the do's and the don'ts? From the Quran. So it is for this reason, Khabbab ibn Arad radiyallahu anhu further says that a person cannot acquire the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through anything more than the Quran. Because the more a person reads the Quran, the more a person understands the Quran, the more he will be able to understand the do's and the don'ts of Allah, and the more he will be able to practice the do's and don'ts of Allah. So this gathering is connected to the glorious Quran. We need to leave from here with this resolution that from today we will strengthen our connection with the Quran. And we will strengthen our connection with the Quran by, number one, reciting the Quran daily on a regular basis. Daily on a regular basis, we need to recite the Quran. And thereafter, we need to understand the message of the Quran through authentic, reliable sources. By reading books written by authentic, reliable ulama and sitting in the durus of the reliable, authentic ulama. And number three, whatever we learn, we practice. This is how we connect ourselves to the Quran. This is how our pious predecessors connected themselves to the Quran. Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Ali karramallahu wajhahu, he says that there is not a single verse of the Quran regarding which I do not know where it was revealed, when it was revealed, and regarding whom it was revealed. Ali radiyallahu anhu, there are more than 6,000 verses of the Quran. He says that there is not a single verse of the Quran regarding which I do not know where it was revealed, when it was revealed, and regarding whom it was revealed. Imam Masruk rahimahullahu ta'ala, the student of Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, very, very close student of Masruk, his favorite student of Imam, of Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu anhu, he says that كان عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه يقرأ علينا السورة. Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu would recite a surah from the Quran to us. He would recite a surah from the Quran to us. And thereafter, after reciting the Quran, وَيُحَدِّسُنَا فِيهَا وَيُفَسِّرُهَا عَامَّةَ النَّهَرِ. He said, Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu anhu would recite a surah from the Quran, and thereafter he would go into the discussion of this surah, and he would comment on this surah throughout the day. He would spend the whole day in explaining this surah. One surah. This is the zeal, the sahaba, the tabi'in, the taba tabi'in, and our pious predecessors had in trying to understand the message. Why? Because they had love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you have love for somebody, you would like to understand the message of the letter that person has sent to you. Allama Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he would say that rubbama ta'alatu alal ayatil wahidati mi'ata tafsirin. Sometimes in order to fully understand and grasp the message of one verse of the Quran, I have studied 100 tafasir. 100 commentaries in order to appreciate and grasp and understand only one verse of the Quran. And he said, ثُمَّ أَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْفَهْمَ. Not only did I exert effort with my intellect, I would turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this study and I would say, يَا مُعَلِّمَ آدَمَ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلِّمْنِي. Oh, the teacher of Adam, or the teacher of Ibrahim, teach me also. This is Ibn Taymiyyah, Allahu Akbar. Why? Because when they read a particular verse, we read a particular verse. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we are content. As I said earlier, it is a great name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we were given the tawfiq to read this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من قرأ حرفا من كتاب الله فله به حسنة. One who reads a letter from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for him is one hasana. والحسنة بيشري أمثالها. And as soon as a person becomes deserving of one hasana, it is automatically multiplied by 10 in the court of Allah. So with every hasana, a person receives 9 bonus hasanat. So one letter brings 10 hasanat, 10 good deeds, 10 rewards. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La akulu alif lam mim harfun. I am not saying alif lam mim is one letter. No, walakin alifun harfun, walamun harfun, wamimun harfun. Alif is a separate letter, lam is a separate letter, mim is a separate letter. So alif will bring 10 rewards, lam will bring 10 rewards, and mim will bring 10 rewards. The muhaddithun, commenting on this particular hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have mentioned that the alif lam mim under discussion is the alif lam mim of suratul fil. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Alam alif lam mim. So when we say 10 rewards, la 10 rewards, and mim sakin at the end, lam 10 rewards. The muhaddisun say that the alif lam mim at the beginning of suratul Baqarah, beginning of surati Ali Imran, that is not under discussion. Because when we say alif at the beginning of suratul Baqarah, we are uttering 3 letters, lam and fa, alif. And when we say lam, we are uttering 3 letters again, lam, alif and mim. And when we say mim, we are uttering 3 letters again, mim, ya and mim. So the muhaddisun have said that when a person says alam in suratul fil, Allah will grant him 30 rewards. And when a person says alif, lam, mim at the beginning of suratul Baqarah, Allah will grant him 90 rewards. من قرأ حرفا من كتاب الله فله به حسنة والحسنة بعشر أمثالها. لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. الحمد لله الحمد لله. We recite a verse from the Quran and we are content. As I said, great name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is granting us the tawfiq to recite the glorious Quran, but do not become content. Let us also have this zeal. What is my creator saying to me in Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen? What is the message? What is the message? If we receive a letter from the social security, if we receive a letter from the social security and we are new in this country and we don't know English, what do we do? As soon as we recognize the letter that it is from social security, is the check going to continue or is the check going to stop? That is the only benefit and loss. The loss is the check will stop. And the benefit is the check will continue. Before Zohar Salat, we will get it interpreted. We will look for the tafsir before Zohar Salat. Before Zohar Salat, we must know the tafsir of this letter. And here we have the letter from the Creator. Imam Ghazali, Hujjatul Islam, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullahi Alayhi says that Quran is a letter from the Creator. Allahu Akbar. And what a great letter. Number one, it is the word of Allah. Number two, it was sent by the most virtuous angel, Jibreel. It was sent through him. He is the postman. It was sent through him. Number three, it was sent upon the most virtuous person in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam was given the opportunity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring wahya and revelation to approximately 124,000 anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam. So he had seen the cream of humanity. He had seen the cream of humanity. He said one day to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَلَّبْتُ مَشَارِكَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَا غَارِبَهَا. Through the qudra, through the power that Allah has granted to me, I have turned upside down the every corner of this world. That means I have seen each and every person through the qudra of Allah. And who is the most virtuous amongst all of them? فَلَمْ أَرَ رَجُلًا أَفْضَلَ مِن مُحَمَّدٍ. I have not seen anybody more virtuous than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah revealed, it is Allah's kalam. He revealed it through the medium of the most virtuous angel, Jibreel. And it was revealed to the most blessed heart, the heart of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنْدِرِينَ. And it was revealed to the best part of the world, Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawara. It was revealed during the best month, the month of Ramadan, Shahr Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. And he initiated during the best night of the month, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Allahu Akbar. This great book. This is a letter from Allah. Letter from Allah. Letter from the Creator to whom? Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says that this is a letter of the Creator. Letter from the Creator to the creation. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says that this letter contains two messages. Message of happiness and message of grief. Message of happiness, message of grief. For those people who carry out the do's and abstain from the don'ts, there is message of happiness. And for those people who do not carry out the do's, who do not abstain from the don'ts, there is message of grief. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi further says that, O creature, O the son of Adam, O the daughter of Adam, you receive a letter from another creation. You receive a letter from your father, from your mother, from your brother, from your sister, from your friend, from your husband, from your wife. You receive a letter from another creation. That letter also contains either of two messages. Either it's message of happiness or message of grief. Somebody is engaged, message of happiness. Somebody is getting married, message of happiness. Somebody has opened a shop, message of happiness. somebody has passed away, message of grief. Message of happiness, message of grief. But the message of happiness and the message of grief in this letter, the letter of the creation, is limited only. So the grief is limited and the happiness is also limited. It is limited. It is not indefinite. It is definite. So a person after reading that letter will experience joy and happiness for 1 week, maybe a few hours, maximum a few months. A person may experience grief for a few hours, a few moments, maybe a few days, a few weeks, maximum a few months. So this letter of creation that comes to you with limited and definite happiness, limited and definite grief, message of limited, definite happiness, message of limited and definite grief. You cannot sit in peace until you know the content of the message. Imam Ghazali says. And he further says that a letter has come to you from the Creator, not from the creation. From the Creator, from your Creator. Your Creator whom you owe everything. Your very existence is the result of His ihsan, His favor. And He has sent a letter containing two messages. Message of indefinite grief. Message of everlasting grief. And message of indefinite and everlasting happiness. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Those people who accept Iman and who carry out good deeds, they are the people of Jannah, and they will remain in this blissful Jannah forever and ever. A message of everlasting happiness. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. Those people who reject, who belie our signs, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ, they are the people of the fire of Jahannam. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They will remain in it forever and ever. Message of everlasting grief. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says, Woe to you, O the son of Adam. You have no time to understand the content of this message. So we need to connect ourselves to this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a result of this gathering today, if we are able to connect ourselves, we are already connected to the Quran. We are connected to the Quran because we believe in the Quran. We believe it to be the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are connected to the Quran because we recite the Quran in Salah, alhamdulillah. We are connected to the Quran because some of us recite daily, some of us in the month of Ramadan, some of us on a weekly basis. Let us 100% connect ourselves to the glorious Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by reciting the Quran daily. Please my brothers, please my sisters, make this resolution that inshallah we will recite the Quran on a daily basis. And how much should we recite? One juz daily. If one juz is too much, three quarter. If three quarter is too much, half. If half is too much, quarter. If quarter is too much, then one ruku or one page. But daily. Daily. Just like the cup of tea we have at 4 o'clock. Just like the breakfast we have in the morning. Whatever the circumstances, we will always have breakfast. We will always have tea at 4 o'clock. Our eagerness towards the glorious Quran should become even more than our eagerness and our yearning for a cup of tea at 4 p.m. Let us recite the Quran daily. Saturdays, Sunday, weekdays, working days, holidays, at home, during journey, daily. The Shaykh of Mufti, Muhammad Taqi Usmani, Sahib Hafizahullah Ta'ala, Dr. Abdullahi Arifi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. By profession, he was a lawyer. And then he left this profession and he became a homeopathic doctor. The Shaykh of Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Hafizahullah Ta'ala. Spiritual personality. He was on his deathbed. Even on his deathbed, how much was he connected to the Quran? On the last day, moments before passing away, he was with wuzu and he asked somebody to bring the Quran. And he was in a lot of pain and agony because he was in his last moments of just a few hours before. And he could barely recite the Quran. The Quran was opened in front of him and with much difficulty he recited a few verses from the Quran. 1, 2, 3, 4. This was his last day in this world. But he did not leave his practice. And then he said that close the Quran now. I cannot go any further. 2, 3, 4, 5 verses, maybe a page. And when the Quran was closed, he said, Alhamdulillah. I am grateful to Allah that He granted me the ability to complete the ma'amur of reciting the Quran today as well. Whatever little we are able to do, little but daily is more beneficial than more but not daily. Little but daily, little but daily, little but daily. If you throw a bucket full of water once a month on the plant, it will not grow. But just a few drops daily will make the plant grow. So daily we will recite the Quran, inshallah. Daily we will recite the Quran. And inshallah, as we begin, in the initial stages we will find it burdensome. But as a result of reciting the Quran, our hearts will be enlightened. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will set in our hearts. And slowly, slowly, we will find that the love for Quran is increasing. And as the love for Quran increases, the quantity and the quality will also increase. So daily. Daily we will recite. The Sahaba-i Kiram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi mujmain, the Tabi'in, the Taba-Tabi'in, the culture during their time was to complete the whole Quran in 1 week. That was the culture. Complete the whole Quran in 1 week. And all of them would recite the portion that they would recite. The Quran is divided into 7 parts. And they would recite 1 part daily, beginning from Friday, completing on Thursday. And this portion that they had allocated, they would not recite while sitting in the masjid. They would recite in Tahajjud Salah. Daily, 1/7 of the Quran, and they would complete the whole Quran in 7 days. So let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will try to recite the Quran daily. If those of us who are reciting 1 juz or more than 1 juz, we should continue with that quantity. Those of us who are reciting less and less regularly, let us make a resolution that inshallah we will recite regularly, daily, and at least 1 page or 1 ruku with the intention of increasing to 1 juz. Number 2, we will try to understand the message of the Quran through authentic, reliable sources. Social media is not authentic, reliable source. Google is not authentic, reliable source. A person should not read any article regarding deen without knowing the author. Who is the author? If you come across an article regarding deen without the name of the author, it is not something to read. Because we are not experts, we are not ulama. We will not be able to differentiate between what is right and what is wrong. And if we come across an article written by an author who we are unaware of, then we should turn to the ulama. We should turn to those people who may know the author and ask him, ask them, is this authentic author, reliable author, his aqidah, his ideology, is it okay to read his material? Google, social media, YouTube, these are not the places, these are not authentic and reliable places. Without knowing who the speaker is, without knowing who the writer is. Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala has quoted Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala in his Sahih Muslim. That Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala, the great Tabi, he said, "Inna hadal ilma deenun." This ilm is deen. The knowledge that we acquire is deen. If this ilm is authentic, then our practice, our deen will be authentic. And if this ilm is not authentic, our deen will not be authentic. If our ilm is complete, our deen will be complete. If our ilm is not complete, our deen will be incomplete. So Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala said, "Inna hadal ilma deenun," this ilm is deen. Fanzuru amman ta'khuduna deenakum. So be very careful from whom you take your deen. Be very careful. Be very careful. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, once he went to visit a muhaddis. He came to know of a great muhaddis. So he went to visit him so that he can acquire ahadis from him. He was senior to Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. So he went to his town, his locality, his village. He traveled a far distance. And he asked the people that, where is this muhaddis? So they said, this is where he lives. He went to his house, and the people in the house said that he has gone outside the town. And he is looking after his horse. So to attend to the affairs of his horse, maybe to graze him, he is out. So he went looking for him in the fields. And he saw this person, this muhaddis, that the horse had escaped him. And he tried his utmost to lure the horse towards him, but he was unable to get hold of the horse. So in order to lure the horse, this muhaddis was holding his kameez like this and pretending to have something in his kameez which the horse can be attracted to, some grains or food or something. And he was calling the horse that. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi went close to him and he saw that there was nothing in his kameez. So he was actually deceiving the horse. Many people would do this. Animal. And in order to hold the animal, get grip of the animal, you haven't got any food, so what do you offer? So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi turned away. And he started leaving. So when he passed through the town again, the person whom he had asked that where is this muhaddis, he said, have you not met him? He said, yes, I have met him. So he said, are you not going to take hadith from him? So he said, someone who lies to an animal, how can I rely on him? Someone who is deceiving an animal, how can I rely on him regarding the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Be very, very careful, my friends, from where we take, my sisters also. We need to be very careful from where we take our deen. And whatever we receive on social media, we need to be very, very careful before passing that to others without verifying whether it is part of deen or not. Sometimes we receive a very, very attractive message. We like it very much. But because of lack of knowledge, we don't know. Sometimes people send a text, a hadith, and the reference is Bukhari Sharif. It's not in Bukhari. There's nothing in Bukhari Sharif. Sometimes Muslim Sharif, sometimes Tirmidhi Sharif, but it's not there. So we need to read the Quran, we need to understand the Quran through authentic reliable sources. And authentic reliable sources, we need to sit in the company of those ulama we know to be reliable. And before reading any articles or books or tafasir, we need to get in touch with those ulama and ask them that, is this book okay for me to read? And after understanding the Quran, whatever message we understand from the Quran, we need to practice. We need to practice. I will just narrate one incident and then conclude today's gathering, inshallah. Imam Zainul Abidin, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the son of Hussein ibn Ali radiyallahu anhu. Imam Zainul Abidin, his name was also Ali. Ali ibn Hussein ibn Ali. But his title was Zainul Abidin. The adornment of the worshippers, because he was very, very pious. One day he asked his slave or slave girl who was serving him to bring water in a utensil because he wanted to perform wudu. He had prepared to go to the masjid. He wanted to perform wudu. And in those days, the utensils were made of clay. So this servant or this slave brought the utensil full of water, and when this servant reached Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah ta'ala, the utensil dropped. And when the utensil dropped, it broke. And when it broke, the splashes from the water dirtied the clothes of Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah ta'ala. And it was natural for Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah ta'ala to become frustrated, become angry, because the time for Salat was near. So anger was visible on him. Now here we are talking about a slave girl or a slave who are always in the service of their masters, working, working, working. But look at the culture of those days. How much connection slaves had with the Quran. The slave girl knew, the slave knew that my master Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah ta'ala is 100% connected to the Quran, and whenever something is recited to him, he will practice. That he or she was firm, that I know that he will definitely practice if I say that Allah is saying this. And from the whole Quran, she or he chose the best verse. Best verse. And when he or she, when the servant saw the anger on the face of Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah ta'ala, the servant said, "Oh my master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Jannat is prepared for those people who have the quality of swallowing anger." Allah says, وَالْقَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْبِ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Jannat is prepared for those people who fear Allah. And those people who fear Allah are those who are able to swallow their anger. So Allah is saying, Jannat is prepared for those people who swallow anger. So she was hinting that please swallow your anger. So what did Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah tell us? Did he get more angry or like we would have done? No, he said, Kadham to ghaizi. For the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have swallowed my anger. So what did the slave say? The slave said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says, Wal afina anin nas. Their second quality is they forgive people. So Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah ta'ala said, Afautu anki. I have forgiven you. So the slave said, Allah further says, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Allah loves those people who do good. So why don't you do something good as well? That means why don't you free me? Why don't you free me? Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Allah loves those people who do good. So what did Imam Zainul Abidin say? Anta hurrun liwajhillah. Go, I have freed you for the pleasure of Allah. We need to reach this level. If the ummah as a whole reach this level of reading, understanding and following the Quran, the whole world will be at the feet of the ummah. Let us make this firm resolution that inshallah we will connect ourselves more to the Quran by regularly reciting the Quran, by understanding the Quran through authentic, reliable sources and by practicing the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to remain attached to the beautiful deen that he has sent to us through his beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us opportunities to meet again and again in Southampton, in Leicester and in Haramain Sharifain only for his pleasure. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately unite us in Jannatul Firdaus. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يُ يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. صدق الله العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك، يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك، واجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد. اللهم إنا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء وبرد العيش بعد الموت ولذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من ضراء مضرة ومن فتنة مضلة. اللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك العظيم. اللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك العظيم. اللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك العظيم. اللهم افتح لنا أبواب رحمتك. اللهم افتح لنا أبواب رحمتك. اللهم افتح لنا أبواب رحمتك. اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم فرج عن أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم أنس وحشتنا في قبورنا. اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة. اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار، واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يحل حلاله ويحرم حرامه ويقيم حدوده. اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب غمومنا وهمومنا وقائدنا وسائقنا إلى جنات النعيم. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين have mercy upon us. O أرحم الراحمين have mercy upon us. O the most merciful have mercy upon us. O the most forgiving forgive our sins. Forgive the sins of our parents. Forgive the sins of our families. Forgive the sins of our relatives. Forgive the sins of our dear and near ones. Forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, have mercy upon the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive our minor sins. Forgive our major sins. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to remain steadfast on your deen. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq and the ability to carry out all the do's and to abstain from all the don'ts. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your pleasure.
O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your happiness. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your love. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your nearness. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us Jannatul Firdaus. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with the love of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, adorn our lives with the sunnah of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, for as long as you keep us alive, keep us steadfast on Islam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, when you take us from this world, take us with the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, emanating from our tongues. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us a good departure. Grant us a good departure. Grant us a good departure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us a departure with your pleasure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the horrors of the grave. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the difficulties of the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us shade under the shade of your throne. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make the reckoning easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make the reckoning easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make the reckoning easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make the crossing of the Sirat easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the fire of Jahannam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your refuge from the fire of Jahannam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us entry into Jannatul Firdaus. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the company of the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Saliheen. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept the completion of the Quran of the students who have completed the Quran today. O Arhamur Rahimeen, keep their hearts enlightened with the words of the Quran until they breathe their last. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant them the tawfiq to safeguard every word until they breathe their last. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant them the tawfiq to understand the Quran. Ilaha al-Alameen, grant them the tawfiq to follow the Quran. Grant them the tawfiq to teach others. O Arhamur Rahimeen, connect us all to the glorious Quran. O Arhamur Rahimeen, connect us all to the glorious Quran. Connect the whole Ummah to the glorious Quran. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to recite the Quran. Grant us the tawfiq to understand the Quran. Grant us the tawfiq to practice the Quran. Grant us the tawfiq to propagate the Quran. O Arhamur Rahimeen, have mercy upon the whole Ummah. Have mercy upon the whole Ummah. Have mercy upon the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, those of us who are sick, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant them complete shifa. O Arhamur Rahimeen, those of us who are distressed, remove their distress. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the good of this world and the good of the hereafter. Save us from the evil of this world and the evil of the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make our children the coolness of our eyes. O Arhamur Rahimeen, bless us with the blessings of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, whatever good your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seeked from you, grant it to us. Whatever evil your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seeked refuge from, grant us refuge from it. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us acceptance, grant our prayers acceptance, grant this gathering acceptance, grant this program acceptance, grant every individual here acceptance, grant our dear and near ones acceptance, grant acceptance of the whole Ummah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربي اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.